Blog Talk Radio. We Fix Credit. Are you bound by medical bills, child support liens, evictions, late payments, repossession, bankruptcy, or student loans? Today, you can turn that around. Time to be no longer bound. Hi, my name is Dove Stanton, and the name of my credit restoration company is No Longer Bound Financial Services. We are a debt-free company with the means to help thousands of people restore and rebuild their credit. Our customers have been able to obtain their dream homes, dream cars, refinancing, and building a greater future for them and their families. We dispute all negative and erroneous items from all three major credit bureaus. In closing, we can help you restore your credit, which in turn will restore your financial future. The way to reach me is by telephone or text at 678-760-6056, or you can email me at the number 4, the letter U, betterdays@gmail.com. Time to be no longer bound. You gotta have faith.
Well, welcome. Once again, we'd like to welcome everybody once again to another Tuesday night of Praise Tabernacle Bible Study. I am Elder Richard Luther IV. I am your host, and I'd like to welcome you all on behalf of Bishop Omar Zachary, his wife Lady Zachary, and all the saints and members of Praise Tabernacle Church that are listening here in the United States. And that could be listening abroad. And we'd like to welcome our London family in, and our Bahamas family in, and our Germany family in, that's listening to the Bible study tonight, and all of our local viewers here in the Georgia, Lawrenceville area, Metro Atlanta area that could be tuned in tonight, listening tonight. We just want to say welcome, welcome, and thank you for choosing us to fellowship with on another Tuesday night Bible study. You know, and what we like to do, we just like to just make it simple and make it fun and make it informative to you, the listener. And I hope that people are using the email, ppcforchrist@gmail.com. That you can send your praise request in, or just maybe just questions that you may have that we can answer on the following week Bible study. So, again, just welcome, welcome, welcome. We'd like to thank our panel that's on tonight, myself, Elder Oliver, and whoever may, panel members may join a little later. And, again, we got another dynamic teacher tonight, another speaker, another good teacher. You know, I affectionately call him Young Timothy. He is our very own Tobers. He is a good, good young brother, good family man. I love his family. Me and my wife are godparents to one of his youngest child. And we just love the whole family and all the kids. And I just want to say, you know, Tobers, let God use you tonight. Have way in you, and just do your thing, my friend, my brother. And so with there nothing else, we'd like to turn it over to our very own minister, Over. Go ahead, brother.
All right, Elder Taylor, thank you so much for that wonderful introduction. Thank you to everyone listening on Chaos Blog Talk. I'm Minister Tolbert, and we'll be coming from Romans chapter 8. We will start at verse 1, and we will end at verse 16. So again, we'll be starting at Romans chapter 8, verse 1, and we will go down to verse 16. And before I mainly get going, just want to let everyone know that we will be teaching from the topic, there's a battle going on, flesh versus spirit.
That's good.
So there's a battle
going
on, flesh versus the spirit. And the word says, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. For the law of the spirit of life in Jesus and in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, just to give a little intro, Paul was writing this letter to the church at Rome, and this portion of his letter deals with the flesh versus the spirit and many other things.
Mm-hmm.
And during this lesson,
right,
we're going to find out the direction you should or could go in if you follow the flesh or the spirit. We'll also find out the rewards or the results of both, of following both. And I hope you all enjoy this message. So when it starts off and the word of God says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. This opening verse gives us assurance of a reward for following Jesus Christ when it says no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So that's your first reward right there. And the word condemnation means the person pronounced guilty in a court of law and sentenced to punishment,
right,
especially capital punishment, right? But it also means to be doomed to eternal punishment in hell. And these are the direct words from the dictionary. So your reward is already in the beginning by the word of God saying there is now no condemnation to them that to them which are in Christ Jesus. So evidently it pays off well to be a Christian and living according to the Spirit. Evidently this
mm-hmm.
job as a Christian has its own benefits programs. So you always have to know what you're getting out of the deal. And Paul is saying that the benefits for choosing Jesus is the fact that we are made free from the law of sin and death in verse 2. That's what he says. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, the benefit, like I said, is you're no longer under the law of sin and death, no longer under the Mosaic law, but under grace and mercy. Another benefit
mm-hmm.
of choosing Jesus and living after the Spirit is the fact that we get to stand before God knowing that technically we're guilty, but we don't have to get the punishment that we deserve because we're covered by Jesus. We're covered
right.
by the blood of Christ. We're covered by grace and mercy. Now,
right.
instead of seeing all the sins that we have, God only sees Jesus knowing that we're covered. And that's just part of our benefits program that we get from choosing Jesus and following after the Spirit. Anything to add to that, Elder, before I go on to the next two?
No, you're good.
Okay. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, verse 3 goes over several important factors. It starts off by providing proof that Jesus came to fulfill the law. Then it shows God's love by sending his own son, and it establishes Jesus' position. But it tells us about the mission when it says God is sending his only son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh. That was the mission, and the mission was accomplished. He sent him in the, he left heaven and was sent in sinful flesh, took on our sin, and condemned sin in the flesh. And the stage was set at that point. Verse 3, one more time, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. Now that Jesus has completed the mission, we live under grace and mercy, but we don't forget the law. Right. The law of sin is set, you know, and it shows, the law shows and reveals sin and set punishment in order. So without the law, of course, you wouldn't know what those things are that are wrong, right? That's also what the law is for. So the law is still in our hearts, but we have to live by grace and mercy according to the Spirit. So we're under grace and mercy, and we follow after the Spirit and not the flesh.
Yes, sir.
Anybody want to add anything to that before I go ahead?
Well, I think Minister Torres, the grace and mercy part, and use it as a way to sin. You know what I mean? You know,
okay.
Oh, God knows my heart, you know, and they go out and they do X, Y, Z, knowing it's wrong, but because of grace and mercy, they think they okay, you know. And that's why this is such a good lesson to teach, because this is going to let them know that it's not okay, and that you're not okay. You know, using it for occasionally to sin, using it to occasionally sin when you know it's wrong. You know, when your whole intent and purpose is to commit sin. You know, but because of grace and mercy, you think, I'll be okay. You know, so that's why this lesson is good to establish that you're not okay. You know.
That's right. Thank you, Elder Taylor.
That's
Elder
good.
Wood,
that's
I think
good.
You were saying something.
Yes, sir. I came in a couple of minutes late, and I apologize to everybody. I apologize to you, young teacher. I was. What book you coming out of, just by chance?
No problem. I'm in Romans 8. I started at verse 1. I'm going down to 16.
Okay. So early this morning, about 6:30, I was in Galatians, chapter 2 and 3, and it's speaking of the same thing. About the law and why Jesus was presented by God, and about how he covered us from our sins. And but I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to let you keep going because I like you right where I was at, and you, hey, man, this is good. Go ahead.
Okay, no problem. Just like I said, I appreciate all the help. Whenever you guys have any comments or questions or anything, definitely appreciate all of them. So we were at 4, but we're going to keep going, okay? That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. Okay, now we go on to 5 and 6. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
Now, these two verses show the difference between the flesh versus the spirit. It shows the mindset of both and the reward of both. This is where the title really kicks in, where we say there's a battle going on, flesh versus spirit. Your flesh and the spirit of God live together in the same body. These two are constantly warring against each other. The flesh has its own desires and lusts that are contrary to the spirit of God. The flesh wants to show your wild side, make you want to act up a little bit. But see, the spirit wants you to get a little bit closer to God. This battle continues on and on, and there are many examples that I can give you that we can use to apply to that. But we all know exactly what that battle looks and feels like because we go through it every day as Christians. But this is why we are to deny our flesh daily, because it's a daily battle. Yeah. Every day that you wake up, you have to battle that flesh, and you have to fight with those different things that come along with having the flesh.
Yes, sir.
Because we do have the flesh, but we do have the spirit. So there's always that battle going on, and by the end of the day, you'll see which one end up winning at the end of the day, whether you didn't have your moment or, you know, you allow the spirit to move in your life and take over. And we're not always, you know, in the spirit at all. Spirit don't dwell with man always. And you know, those are different things that, you know, we can point out. And one more thing, the scripture says to be carnally minded is death. And this death not only means the end of life, but life as we know it, but, you know, the second death, which is hell. That's the reward for being carnally minded. If you want to go down that path, that's the road that you get at the end of the day. But
yes,
to be
sir.
Spiritually
right.
minded is life and peace. And life and peace
yes,
is
sir.
An eternity with Christ in heaven, which is the best decision that we can make as Christians. So we got to figure out which one we're going to allow to win. We're going to allow the spirit to win, or we're going to allow the flesh to win. Now, there's a battle. That's the battle is daily. But then the war is at the end. How is it going to end up? Are you going to allow your flesh to take you out, or are you going to allow the spirit to lift you up?
Yes, sir.
The daily battle. Questions on that? Comments on that?
I have
no. No, that's good, man.
Okay, no problem. Let's go six and go on down. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. That is a strong
yes,
statement right there. The way that he ends in verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. It don't matter what you try to do, it's not going to work. Flesh
right.
don't please God at all. You got to come
it's
spiritual to a spiritual God. There's nothing in the flesh that's going to please God.
Yeah.
Not that fleshly mindset that you have or anything. I'm sorry. Was somebody saying something?
No, I was just saying because God cannot identify with the flesh. You know.
Right.
You know, he created it, but he cannot identify with it. You know?
Right.
And that's why nothing you can do in the flesh can please him. You know. And that's why as we go along in the scripture, in these scriptures, you know, you have to have his spirit. You know, that's what he identifies with. It's his spirit. And this is how he communicates with us. It's through his spirit, not through our flesh. So that's why there's the Trinity. It's God, the Father, Jesus, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You know, that's why it's so important that we have his spirit so that he have an ear to hear what he's saying in the spirit realm and see in the spirit realm, you know. A lot of people think they can serve God in their flesh. And it's evident in the world that we live in today that a lot of people claiming to be Christians but living a hellish lifestyle. And saying Jesus' name and cursing out the same mouth. You know, that's not living by the Spirit. That's being carnally minded. And they don't even know. They don't even know.
You know.
That's right. They do. And if they do,
yes, sir.
And if they do know, they don't care. You know, and that's a dangerous place to be. So, good lesson tonight so far, Mr. Tobin.
Hey,
I appreciate that. Go ahead.
So, what Elder Taylor is saying is true, but God can identify the flesh, because if he couldn't, we wouldn't have a verse 3 in chapter 8. And verse 3 says, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. So God knows perfectly well the positions and where we're at in life, and it's because of his grace and mercy that he has not sent Jesus back yet. His grace and mercy is that all of us would repent and become spiritually minded out of this flesh. But man, let me stop. I don't want you to lose your train of thought, Minister Tobin.
I'm good.
God is fully aware. He's fully aware where we're at. He's fully aware who attempts to come to him. He's fully aware who hasn't come to him. And he's fully aware of who's his corner spiritually. And God is yet still working with all of us, sending his grace and mercy that we should not die until we can at least confess Jesus Christ's name for us to be a propitiation for our sins. So we got to be careful how we say what God don't know. God knows everything from the beginning to the end. And in between, he's working to get us all to the ending he would have us to be in.
Amen.
Amen, that's right.
I would like to also add, my husband said he was in Galatians 5. Galatians 5 and 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's why we have the flesh has to die daily. It has to
die.
Right. We have to crucify this flesh. And that's what's wrong with us as Christians. We don't want to crucify this flesh. We can't turn down no plate. We can't turn our eyes away from, you know, what we're not supposed to be seeing. We have to crucify this flesh daily. We have to die daily. Every day we should be getting closer and closer to him.
That's right.
Not our worldly desires, not the things that we want to please this flesh, but to crucify this flesh so we can live for him and others can see our light.
That was spot on. I appreciate that because, see, those are the type of conversations that we need to remind ourselves of because every day that we wake up, we know that, first off, it's a blessing to wake up because God ain't got to wake us up. That's a blessing. That's your first blessing in the first place. So we got to thank God just for having that extra day. And when we start that day, that's the start of that battle for the day. That's the start of that battle between the flesh and the spirit. And we know that it's a lot that comes with that. That's why, like you said, it's that daily battle to where we have to deny that flesh. And the different things that you was talking about, just like, you know, we got to stop, you know, with certain things that we know. You said something very simple. You was like, you know, it's a little bit harder to push the plate back and, you know, different things like that. Gluttony, what you talking about? And, you know, a lot of things that you were saying were spot on. So I definitely appreciate that. Going to verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. A carnal mind does what it wants to do and exactly what the flesh wants. A carnal mind has no respect for God and cannot please God. And the word enmity means a feeling or a condition or hostility or hatred or ill will.
Mm-hmm.
So plug that in into that verse. So because the carnal mind is hatred against God, that's a powerful statement. If you plug in just hatred. Because you're saying that you would rather do whatever you want and disrespect God and be against God versus doing what thus says the Lord and following God, knowing that he created us, knowing that he put everything in us, but we allow the world to turn us around. That's why we got to make sure that we allow the Spirit to win this battle. Hey, man, living according to the flesh cannot please God at all. The flesh wants to do the complete opposite of what God wants, plain and simple. The flesh want to do what it want to do, and the Spirit has a completely different path because the Spirit connects with God. Verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, giving us reassurance. If so, be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, that gives evidence right there at the latter part of verse 9 when he said, now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So the evidence of you being a Christian is obviously you having the Holy Spirit from that statement, Spirit of Christ, Holy Spirit. So that's also backed up in another scripture. I believe it's 16 that we're going to get to down the line. But if you look at 16, just going to read this. The Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So the Holy Spirit bear witness that with our spirit that we are children of God. That's the evidence right there. Having the Holy Spirit are evidence that we are even children of God. And it's a powerful statement for them to tell you that if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. That don't belong. If you don't have the Spirit, that don't belong to God. You know what I mean? You don't belong to God. That's what that statement just said. And going over 9 and 10, these are two very powerful verses. Paul starts out by giving us the assurance that we are not in the flesh, but the Spirit. We are filled with the Holy Spirit, and it comes as a free gift for us as Christians in accepting Jesus Christ. We don't have to tarry for it or anything like that. And I never tarried or called out, but I had a Spirit. I didn't do any of the things like that. I accepted Jesus. I end up getting the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, as I said earlier, it's evidence that we have a relationship with Jesus. When the Bible says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. We got to have the evidence. And the evidence is the Holy Spirit. Christ being in us removes the power of sin over us. So we have to allow Christ to reign free, allow the Holy Spirit to reign free within us, so that we can have the power to even overpower our flesh, overpower our sin. Because we can't win that battle on our own. That's why we got to lean on the Holy Spirit for guidance. That's why we have to shift our direction. We have to shift our thinking, our way of thinking, instead of being the carnal mind, you know, thinking those things of the Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is life and righteousness and gives us life, and it helps us to be righteous in the first place.
Yes, sir.
No, I know I just said a lot, but I hope somebody got that part. Anybody
no,
got
you
anything they want to add?
Yes, I would like to add.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit. A lot of people think, oh, they got it because they're speaking in tongues or whatever, whatever. The Holy Spirit is here to help us be like Christ. Not speaking in tongues every service. Not,
right.
You know, whatever, because I've known people to speak in tongues and cut you out, okay? So the Holy Spirit is there to help you be like Christ, to walk right,
right,
to talk right, to love. That's what the Holy Spirit is, a comforter. When you're, whatever we can't do, that's what the Holy Spirit is there for, to keep us, if we want to be kept.
That's right. Evangelist, I'm going to add on to what you were saying. Like, for example, now it ain't like, you know, trying to say anything about speaking in tongues or anything like that. You know, there's certain people that have that gift, but I don't have that. I haven't, to go along with what you're saying, I've never spoken unknown tongues. You know, like, you know, the way that you hear it, where you're like, what he's saying or anything like that. I've never done that. And, you know, just for those listening, that doesn't mean that, you know, you don't have the Holy Spirit, because I've never done that myself, and I know I got the Spirit. But you know, that's just more reassurance, and you have to know and learn these things. That's why the scripture says, study to show thyself approved. You have to know these things, because not everybody's going to give it to you like this. Not everybody is going to present things in that fashion, to where you understand that some of those traditions are just that, tradition. It doesn't mean that you have to do this in order to receive the Holy Spirit. The only thing you got to do is accept Jesus. Once you confess your sins, you know, and confessing Jesus, and then you get to living according to the Spirit, you get the Holy Spirit. You sure do.
Mm-hmm.
Free gift. The Holy Spirit. And I'm sorry, any other
hey, Minister, I just wanted to touch on that, and I'm so glad you said what you said, because a couple of weeks ago we had someone on D&K show talking about the Holy Spirit, and my wife said the exact same thing. She'd never spoken an unknown tongue. Some people say that if you don't do it, you're not saved. That's
right.
When I was growing up, they would say, if you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved. And that's tradition. That's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
When you accept Christ, you get the Holy Spirit, period.
Right.
Some people speak in it, some people don't. But I'm just glad you're clearing that up, so everyone don't think that you have to speak in tongues in order to be saved.
Right. And like I said, I appreciate you saying that, because I was once thinking something like that myself. And not that, you know, it was pressured upon me or anything like that. I didn't grow up in church, but I had went a few times. But I always saw that people were speaking in unknown tongues. And I'm like, well, man, I ain't never did that. You know, I figured that I had a connection with God. This was later on down in life. And I'm like, well, why don't I speak in tongues? But then unknown tongues. But then I found out, you know, by way of Praise Tabernacle, you know, we came to the truth and understanding just by reading the word that don't mean anything, that you have to speak in tongues in order to have the Holy Spirit. Now it comes as a free gift from accepting Jesus. And that's the main thing that I want to put out there. That's why I've said it so many times. It's a free gift from accepting Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
I have one more comment. I have things before, but I want to say this. So if a person, and I'm going to bring even baptism in there. Baptism, if I'm not baptized, if I don't speak in tongues, if I don't go to church every Sunday or every time the door is open. So I'm not going to make it to heaven. Really. So why did Jesus tell the man on the cross that he'll meet him over in paradise?
That's right.
Did he do all that stuff? I mean, it's just a question.
The evidence wasn't in the scriptures of that.
I mean, I haven't read anywhere in the Bible where the man was baptized in the name of Jesus or the name of the Father and the Son or the Holy Ghost or dipped in the water 50,000 times. I'm just saying. Is it scripture or is it something that we just came up with as we, you know, went along?
Somebody somewhere came up with it.
Just to separate. I think it's just to separate those who think they got it together,
mm-hmm.
you know, and to bring shame unto other people, to make me think that you're more saved than I am because you're speaking.
All right.
That's right. I appreciate that.
So, in 1 Corinthians, so about tongues and prophecy, tongues, or any mm-hmm. questions about tongues, anybody that may be listening, if you want to read into that and know exactly what it's saying about tongues, but it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and chapter 14. If you read chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, you'll understand more about what Paul was talking about speaking in tongues, you know. And 14 and 5 says, I would that ye all speak with tongues, or rather that ye prophesy. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaketh with tongues, except ye interpret, that the church may receive. So in other words, what he's saying is that people that prophesy or people that speak in tongues are speaking to God. They're not speaking to man. They're giving
mm-hmm.
God the glory, or they're speaking to God directly. But he would rather that we spoke the language that we speak so that men are edified, or that men are exhorted, or that men hear the word of God. So it's not wrong to speak in tongues. It's not wrong if you don't speak in tongues. But if you got a word for somebody, that's even better, is what Paul is saying. So.
No, I appreciate that, Elder. It's always good to have more clarity when we go over these Bible study scriptures. That's what it's all about. Amen. So back to the lesson. I'm going to read on down. We read the last verse of 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. So verse 11 informs us that the spirit that raised up Jesus dwells in us and will make us alive spiritually. And we are not in debt, but, you know, that debt, we're not in debt, but we are in debt not in debt to the flesh, but to the spirit. The Holy Spirit is, like we said earlier, a gift from God, and that gift dwells within us and dwells in us and allows us to have direct connection with God. I was reading it wrong. And the Bible talks about how we don't even know what to pray for, but it's the Holy Spirit that makes intercession for us. And that's right in verse 26. And,
come on.
You know, keep an eye right there. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered.
Come on.
And that speaks a lot more to what we were talking about, even with speaking in tongues and everything. So
This is a direct form of communication. We don't know what we're supposed to talk to God about, but the Holy Spirit does. So you ever had that moment where you know that you need something from God? You know that you need it and you want it, but you don't know how to say it, but then you just start to pray. And all the words
yes, sir.
Come out necessary. And you were trying to think of what can I say? What should I say? I want to add this. I don't know how to say this. That's fine. All you got to do is start. And then once you start, everything just keep flowing. And you was wondering how that kept going. The evidence is in verse 26. That's why when you begin to pray and you allow the Holy Spirit to take over, because the Spirit within you is having a conversation with the Spirit of God. That's the direct conversation right there.
Come on, boy. Come on.
So all we have to do is follow after the Spirit. So we cannot allow the flesh to win. Just follow after the Spirit. And that's what I'm going to say on that before I get going. Open up the floor, because we're going to get ready to close this thing out pretty soon.
You know, it's sometimes
okay.
we try to, you know, all of us, we try to judge people. How can I say this? We try to judge people for who they say they are. And we give a judgment. Like if somebody say I'm saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, or if somebody, you know, always, you know, talking about the Spirit, but you see other actions, or somebody that, trying to be careful here, who portrays themselves to be this, that, and the other, and towards God, but you see their physical or way of acting is different, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to know if somebody is in the Spirit of God or has the Spirit of God or have been saved by God and they truly believe they have been saved, if we go to Galatians 5, I promise this is something I was reading this morning, Galatians 5:22. Where Paul says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. See, if everybody in the world from day one was like this, it wouldn't have been a need for God to send the law that would show the immoralities that we were doing, to put the stop sign at the corner, that if we run the stop sign, you understand what I'm saying?
Come
so
on now.
The things that we even have in place now, the laws of the land that we have even in place now, shows our sin.
Right.
And that's why the law was put in place, to show our sin. But if we, as in Galatians 5 and 22, show what the fruit of the Spirit is, we wouldn't have to judge one another because of our actions, because our actions would be totally of love. So this flesh does get in the way, as you were saying earlier, and this flesh cannot see God for who he is.
Mm-hmm.
We have to deny our flesh daily. We have to stay on our word daily. There's no foolishness in the word of God. It's all truth. So, man, this confirmation of what I read this morning, and I appreciate you bringing this out. Great lesson, great teaching. I can go on, but I won't. But go ahead, Doc.
Thank you. God be the glory. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Evidence of what we've been saying the whole time. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. As Christians, we are not supposed to live according to the flesh. That lifestyle leads to death. Live according to the Spirit, and it results in everlasting life. But it takes death of the flesh to happen as well. So that's the part where we're talking about in verse 3. I mean, 13, I'm sorry. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So that's the part where we're talking about where we're living according to the Spirit, but we have to allow the flesh to die. That mortify dying, the deeds of the body, flesh. So we have to allow the flesh to die, the wants of the flesh, the needs of the flesh to die, so that we can live according to the Spirit. And living according to the Spirit gives us life, and not only just life now, but life everlasting. So that's what we're striving for. So that's the end goal. We ain't running this race for no reason. We're not doing this battle for no reason. The goal is to get to everlasting life with Christ. So in order to get there, this is what we have to do. We have to fight that flesh. We have to put off the flesh, put off that form of ourselves in order to live within the spiritual form of ourselves. So we have to connect with the Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to do so. And there's nothing we're trying to do on our own. You just have to allow the Holy Spirit to rule in your life. Allow God to rule in your life. As I said earlier, having the Holy Spirit is the evidence that we are the sons of God or children of God. In verse 14, that's what we are given also evidence to. Now, verse 15 and 16, and we're going to get ready to close in here. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again, to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Spirit, the Spirit that we receive doesn't make us slaves so that we live in fear. But the Holy Spirit that we receive makes us adopted into sonship as children of God. And what I mean by that, being adopted into the sonship, to break that down a little bit more, what I got from that was, of course, we know the history of even the fact that if we want to take part of the fact that we weren't even included as, you know, the Jews or anything, but we are adopted in once Jesus came and shed his blood on the cross, and we became included as well. So that's one part that I want to say, that being adopted into sonship and being children of God from that standpoint, because it was originally for the Jews. Jesus came, died on the cross. Now we're included as well. And the word Abba is an Aramaic word for father. And the Holy Spirit gives us our direction and our direct connection with God to begin with. The Holy Spirit connects with our spirit that is within us, within our bodies, and shows and proves that we are indeed children of God in the first place. And that Holy Spirit has direct communication with God back and forth. And if we have the Holy Spirit, then you are children of God. And can't nobody tell you anything different according to the word, according to what it says in verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, the fear again, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So can't nobody tell me that I ain't a Christian knowing that I got the Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir.
That's the evidence right there. verse 16, that's the evidence right there when it says the Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God. That's the evidence. The Holy Spirit is the evidence that we are even Christians. We are who we say we are.
Yes, sir.
Final comments. That is it for me. Anything, any comments from anybody before I read my closing remarks? Okay.
Great teaching, man. Very great teaching.
All right, I appreciate it. So let me read this out. I hope someone got anything from it. But as Christians, we are to live according to the Spirit and not the flesh. We have to have a made-up mind to serve God. We must also remember that it is a daily fight against the flesh, but allow the Spirit to win. Therefore, we can be with Jesus in the end. Amen. There's a battle going on. Flesh versus the Spirit. Let the Spirit win. That's it. I hope somebody got something out of that. And I thank y'all for allowing me to be on the panel and turn this part back over into Elder Taylor.
All right, Minister Colbert, man, that was another great word for you, man. I'm so proud of how you're doing in this word, man, and how you come forth with line up on line, precept upon precept. You're doing a great job. And I want to thank Elder Bluett and Evangelist Bluett and Elder Oliver for being on the panel tonight, as always. Great word. You got to have the Holy Spirit. You got to fight the flesh. You can't fight flesh with flesh. You got to have something more powerful than the flesh. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit that identifies you as a Christian, as a man and a woman of God. That brings you under the adoption of Jesus Christ. And just a great word. I pray that someone got a nugget out of the word tonight. If you just got a little something that can change how you think, how you do in your daily walk, as grace and mercy continue to abide with us as we go forth in our day-to-day walk with the Lord. You know, it is a battle. It's a constant battle. We have to acknowledge that it is a battle. We can't ignore it. That our flesh wants to go one way, the Holy Spirit wants us to go another way. And which way are we going to choose? This is a very familiar teaching. You know, I've taught something familiar to this before, and it's very good. You know, it's over. You know, I just pray that someone got something out of it. Well, we're going to go over our weekly schedule, and then we're going to pray out if anybody else has anything else to add or to say, and then we're going to dismiss. Our Monday schedule is, as of right now, is a D&K Bible break with Derek Oliver and his wife, Lisa. They're doing it on Mondays. Is that 7:30 or 7 o'clock, Elder Oliver?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. Okay, 7 o'clock on Monday. I always, for some reason, I'm gonna have to set my alarm clock because I always seem to forget, and they're about done by the time I click on. So forgive me, Elder Oliver, but I'll be on next week with y'all. And then Tuesday night, again, every Tuesday is Praise Tabernacle Bible Study. We have a panel of teachers that teach each and every Tuesday, and then on Thursdays is Bishop Omar Zachary and Family, where they come forth on South Block Talk Radio and Facebook Live, where you can tune in and listen to that. All of these you can tune in. The Bible study you can tune in and listen to on South Block Talk Live, or you can call the 800 number. I think all of us can hear that if I have it. You can call 845-277-9094. That's the telephone number to call in to listen to the Bible study. And then on Sunday morning at 9 a.m. is Praise Tabernacle with Bishop Omar Zachary and Lady Zachary. Sunday morning service, which is on Facebook Live, and also again on Chaos Block Talk Radio. So that's typically our schedule. As things come up, as things arise, we will add to the schedule. If there is a cancellation of one of the services, there will be a cancellation on Facebook. You can see a cancellation on Facebook or postponement on Facebook. So we just want to thank everybody that's been listening, that's been following us, that's been watching us on Facebook Live, that's been continually listening to us every week as we can see the progress and move forward and try to get through this pandemic with everybody. You know, we just pray that everybody continues to be safe. And with that, we just want to pray out. If nobody has anything else they'd like to add, we're going to pray out. Okay.
Yeah,
so,
I got one
Lord,
more thing. Go ahead, pray out.
Go ahead, Elder Blue.
Well, I mean, it was a great lesson tonight, great teachings, great revelation, great eye-opener. And even over in, I'm mentioning Galatians a lot tonight because I was in it so this morning, so deep in it this morning. But because of what you were teaching about the law and of faith and the spirit, you know, Galatians 3, if anybody listening want to get into that chapter also, it's a little bit more of a breakdown of the law and faith and what we should have and what we should not have, what Paul is addressing the Galatians with. But go ahead, Elder. Great lesson, man.
All right. Thank you, Elder Bluette, for your input. As always, is much, much appreciated and welcome. But we just want to thank God. We want to give God glory and honor and thank him for the word that went out tonight. Lord God, we pray that you reestablish, reaffirm, and confirm even more in the minister Tobit, Lord God, that you cover him with your blood, your hedge of protection around him and his beautiful wife and his children, Lord God, around his home. Lord God, that you continue to protect them, Lord God. And everyone that's on the panel tonight, Lord God, that you continue to move out your Holy Ghost power in our lives, Lord God, and our families and our children, Lord God. We pray for our pastors, Pastor Bishop Omar Zachary and his wife, Lady Zachary, and their children, Lord God, continue to move by your spirit in their home and their households as leaders of praise, heaven, and church. And we just want to say thank you, Lord God, and that you continue to touch each and every member of Praise Tabernacle Church, and that you continue to move by your Holy Ghost power over everyone that's listening, that's under the sound of my voice, over in London, over in Germany, over in the Bahamas, and all throughout the United States, our local group here, Lord God, that you continue to have your way. And I decree, I call those things that be not as though they were, that I speak life, I speak health, I speak strength to their families, Lord God, to our own bodies, Lord God, to our mental status, Lord God, that you be glorified in us, be magnified in us, that, Lord God, that we can continue to be the humble, yielding vessel that you called us to be, Lord God, and that we can march on to you, Jesus. We just want to say thank you again for one more night, Lord God, one more time to get it right, one more chance to get it right, Lord God. We just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. I humbly thank you, Lord God, for tonight. And even tomorrow that I haven't even seen yet. And with that, and well, we leave this place in natural presence, Lord God, through our great commission scripture, Matthew 28:19-20. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe also whatsoever I have commanded. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. God bless you all, and good night.